Well, thank you for the welcome, and especially to your brother Colin. And it is nice to be back here, and also to listen to Brother Philip singing there. And so we are thankful to the Lord. We can meet together. And this morning, we're thinking there of Ruth, the book of Ruth, and we'll turn to that tonight. And also, it will be into Luke's Gospel as well. And so there's challenges, I believe. We said this morning that Naomi, she had left Bethlehem and went to Moab, 50 or 60 miles away, because there was a famine there. And we know she intended just to stay a wee while, but she ended up staying for 10 years. And we're saying she was a backslider. So if there's anybody here that you are a backslider, well, there is others in the Bible, and there are many examples, indeed, of people like that. But we're thankful that she returned when she heard the good news that there was now bread. There was a harvest back home. And thankfully, when we think of Jesus, he is the bread of life. And how you can try the world, you can try everything, but at the end of the day, you'll be disappointed. But we can say it tonight, Jesus is no disappointment. We can recommend him, there's no doubt about it. And he is the one that was going to look after you, provide for you, a bit like Boaz with Ruth. And how he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he loves you tonight. And he loves sinners. And that's why he died on the cross. He died for sinners. And he wants people to be ready for heaven. And I wonder tonight, are you ready? Now you can answer that yourself. Are you ready? And the Bible says, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man, he cometh. And so he could come at any moment in the twinkling of an eye. So how long does that take? Can you imagine? It seems it's the fastest thing that you can have. A twinkle of an eye. A split second. People will say, oh, I'll get ready. When later on, basically, and you put it off, procrastination, and then it's too late. Some people I have known in the past, and they have intended to get saved, and the next thing, dementia hits them, and they can't even think straight. Isn't that serious? So people, you know, it's now is the time. And we need to be saved now. And so as we look tonight, we'll be thinking of two with Naomi. And we'll be thinking of two with Christ on the cross. And I wonder, which one are you? And that's the challenge tonight, I trust, that you'll be able to bring home with you. You'll be able to think about it. And you can answer it yourself. And the Lord knows your heart. He knows exactly whether you're saved or not. We can bluff other people, but we can't bluff God. He knows everything. And so here we are tonight, and how Naomi's on her way back home to the house of bread. And if you're a backslider, then that's the only place where you can find joy. Joy being with the people of God. Joy being in the Word of God. And joy serving the Lord, if you're a believer. And so here we are tonight, and we see two with Naomi from verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ruth. And how that, I believe, is a challenge to us, because we see in verse 14, we see that the two ladies, they were obviously Naomi, she wasn't in a good state herself, backslidden. And she would tell them to go back to their gods. Now think of this. The gods of Moab. The gods that weren't real gods. And how for these girls, they were disappointed because Naomi's sons had died. Her husband had died as well. As we said this morning, she had a difficult time, Naomi. But God was bringing her back. Bringing her back, and she was going to have the joy of the Lord very soon, because the lady Ruth that's going to stay with her, how that God has blessed her through Boaz, and they're going to have then a son, and that son is going to be in line, the grandfather of King David. And so we read here, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." So here is Orpah, and she is now going back to her gods, to her people, and away from the influence of the God of Israel. And so that is one situation. And it is sad when people come, as it were, to the very door of salvation and they refuse. Because Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And so here is a lady, and she is just walking away. And you can do that. You can keep resisting the Spirit of God. And we know God's Spirit doesn't always strive with man. And how she walked back, away from what a future she could have had as well. But she turned back. And now we see here, we see Ruth. And then Naomi says in verse 15, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law." So Naomi's saying, you know, you go back too. And that was bad advice. Because we would say for you tonight, if you're not saved, that you come to the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So we're still in the day of grace, praise the Lord. And so we find here two with Naomi. And which one of them do you say you're like? Are you like Orpah? And you hear the gospel, but maybe it goes in one ear, as we would say, and it goes out the other. And it's like water off a duck, if you know what that means. It doesn't stay on. It just washes off. And so it is important that you take it in. Because I remember a man, Black, preaching one time in a mission. And he said, you know, there's two types of people in a mission. And he said, two theories he had. One was the pitchfork. You might know what that is anyway. It's a bit like a grape. But a pitchfork, two prongs on it. And he said, some people are like a pitchfork. Everything they hear, that's for so-and-so down the road there. And they pitch it over to them. And then there's another type of person in the meeting, and they rake it up themselves. They rake it in. They rake it in and they say, this is for me. I'm going to apply it to myself. And the devil's cute. He says, think of somebody else for that. And away it goes. And say, that's me, finished with it now. They need it. And maybe you're thinking tonight, even you're not saved, you're respectable. And you have good standards. And maybe you're saying, I don't really need this. There are people who would need their lives cleaned up that I know. And they need it. But the truth is, if you're not saved tonight, you need it. I'm doing a wee devotional talk every morning. And we've got, I'm getting help with it, but we've got over 100 done already with this pandemic. And every morning from Monday to Saturday, we do a 10 or 12 minutes there, a wee video on WhatsApp. A thought for the day. And so I'm doing the commandments at the moment. And it's very interesting when you start looking at the commandments and you can see what is happening there. And you can see the law and how there in Romans 5, and I was just looking at that before I came in here, Romans 5 and verse 20, and it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin aboundeth, grace did much more abound." So the idea of the law is not to make you a sinner, but to show that you are a sinner. That's what the law does. And how people say, I keep the commandments and whatever. But you can't do that. It's impossible. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says in Romans 5 and 21 that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, James tells us in James 2 and verse 10, he tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And I often thought about the Ten Commandments, and they're a wee bit like, they're, if you had a chain with 10 links on it. Now, can you imagine this? Maybe you can't. But if you're attached to a helicopter or something, and there you are, and you're getting, and one of those links broke, would it matter which one broke? The end result is that you indeed would be separated there, and you would fall. And that's the problem. We have all fallen short. Every one of us, we have broke God's commandments. And even when it comes to, for example, covetousness, I'm sure there's nobody would stand up here and say, I never committed that word covet in my life. I don't think you could. Could you stand up here and say, I have never told one lie? None of us. I don't believe anybody could stand up here and say, I have never told a lie. And the truth is, we have. We have. And have we ever taken God's name in vain? Have we ever worshipped other gods? And we say, oh, no, no, I have never worshipped other gods. But maybe you have. Maybe you put your house, you put your car, or maybe your hobbies. It could be gradually. It could squeeze out the things that you should give to God. So we can be guilty in this part of the world of worshipping other gods. Now, they're not like sort of images that we bow down to or whatever. But if we are giving our time and our effort to something other than God, then it becomes then obviously an idol. And so, is there anybody could say, I'm not guilty? I think we are. We're all guilty. And that's why Jesus came into the world. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So can you say tonight, you are ARPA? That you have heard the gospel and, well, you've came to the door and hopefully you're not saying this. And you know what? By your actions, by saying no, no, no to God, you're walking away. Because the clock's ticking. I know it's ticking now, but the clock is ticking. And time for you down here on earth, it'll stop someday. And none of us know how quickly that could be. Time is short. And so, are you like Orpah? Or are you like Ruth? Because here we find in Ruth, Book of Ruth, chapter 1. And we read about this lady, Ruth. And Ruth, she has got a heart now. She has got faith. She has repented of her sins. This lady, she has really got herself sorted out, and she convinced that the God of Israel is the true God. She's willing to leave her small gods behind in Moab, and she's willing to follow the Lord. Wonder tonight, can you say you love the Lord? You have told him that you're sorry for your sin and that you want to serve him for the rest of your life. And that you know if anything happens to you, you're going to be with Christ, which is far better. And so here in verse 16, Ruth said to Naomi, she said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Here's a lady, a Gentile, and she has come out from Moab, and obviously the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And this lady is willing to leave all and follow the Lord. And so here in verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So here they were both able to go to Bethlehem, to the place of bread. And we know what happened, Ruth, we said this morning, that God was working out a purpose for her. And he has a purpose for every Christian. And it wasn't very clear at the start, but how God's grace was sufficient. And he supplied her need, Ruth's need, and Naomi's need. They were very poor. And they needed a redeemer. They couldn't redeem themselves, because Elimelech, his property, they had left their Bethlehem and went to Moab, and then for 10 years. And they needed a kinsman redeemer. They needed one there that would be able to step in and do something they couldn't do. And see, tonight, you could not save yourself. You need someone else. And we would say, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Ruth proved that she was genuine. She was a virtuous lady. She had a good testimony among the workers. Boaz thought a lot about her. She looked after her mother-in-law. And she was a faithful lady, because she served a faithful God. We can say tonight, great is thy faithfulness, O God, unto us. And so God is faithful. So you can see there, I believe, the challenge. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does that word deny mean? Stop living for yourself. Because we are selfish at heart. And God wants us to stop and realize that we are sinners and we have failed. We have broken the commandments and we can't keep them. So that's why Jesus came. He came to save you and to save me. And I wonder tonight, are you like Orpah or are you like Ruth? So you can answer that yourself tonight. And then as we turn, please, to Luke's Gospel and Luke 23 there. Luke 23 and verse 39. We see here two with Christ on the cross. And again, you can answer, you know, which one are you like? And here we read in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So obviously, here he is beside the Saviour, and he's not happy. He's not obviously believing. He's rejecting Christ, even up to the very last breath in his body. Hopefully that will not be you tonight. Because as I said earlier, none of us know when that time will come. And that's why you need to be prepared to meet God. And it's so serious. It really is. And so in verse 39, this one, really, he wasn't happy. Rejecting Christ. And probably he did that all his life. He had that attitude. And then we see the other one. The other, answering in verse 40, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So here is a one, and I trust you're like that person, and he's saying, look, we deserve this. We deserve the punishment because we were guilty of very serious crime. And here he's admitting it, but this thief also, he, in other Gospels, tell us that he also rejected Christ for a good while on the cross. And he said things against Christ. And now he's changed his mind. He said, I am actually going to die. And here is one that's in the center, and I've never heard a bad word coming out of his mouth. I have saw just love, and I've heard him say, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And obviously, this man's heart was touched, and he was changed. He was convicted of his sin. And this is what he's saying here. He says, we need to fear God. And you'll see that up on some of the banners. I noticed they're driving to here. Fear God. And that's the beginning of wisdom. So I wonder, do we fear God? People fear maybe the virus. And rightly so. But do we fear God more? If we're not saved, we should be trembling. Really? That was one of the things that brought me to Christ when I was 17 years of age. I realized when I heard that Jesus could come at any moment, I wasn't ready and I would be left behind. And I wonder if Jesus came tonight, would you be left behind? So there was two with Christ on the cross. And they say one changed his mind, one repented. One believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he had then that assurance from the Saviour. The other rejected. And all you have to do tonight to reject Christ is to do nothing. If you're not saved, just do nothing. And just carry on the way you're doing, living maybe a very good life. And at the end of it all, if anything happens to you, you could die and maybe get a good funeral. A lot of nice things said about you. But you see, if you're not saved, you'll not enter heaven. The Bible says we must be saved. That's what the jailer asked. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So here, the other, He rebuked him, and that's a good sign. He stood up for Christ. He realized, you know, we deserve this. And I wonder, would you say tonight, if you're not saved, you would deserve to be kept out of heaven because you're not good enough? Would you say that? Would you say that I am not good enough for heaven because my sin wouldn't let me in? Because no sin can get into heaven. And yet, when you think about it, Jesus died for sinners. He died for you and me. And if we trust him, then we're forgiven and we're able to go to heaven. I love, indeed, that message that you can be saved tonight. And then he said in verse 41, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Jesus did nothing wrong. He was perfect. And I wonder tonight, as you think of Christ there on the cross, he had no sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that's what you need to do. You need to be brought to God. And if you think you can keep the commandments, I did there a wee series then on the Beatitudes as well, for the thought for the day. And, you know, some people think, well, I could keep the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7. And, you know, I can keep the Ten Commandments, but you're only bluffing yourself because nobody can do it. And if you could, there's no reason for Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. And so tonight we see here, here's a man and he's been honest with God. He says, look, guilty, and we deserve what we're getting. And if you can say that before God tonight, I deserve to be kept out of heaven. And there's only another place. We know ourselves. There's two places. Not three, not four. There's only two. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if we want to go to heaven, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be born again. And you might say, well, how could I be born again? Nicodemus had that struggle in John chapter 3. And how... This is, I believe, how simple it is. This one thief, he said, I deserve it. I am guilty. We need to fear, respect God because we're going to answer to him. Because I'm about to die and I want to be ready. And I realise that Jesus here, right beside me, he's dying not for his own. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't guilty of any robbery. But he came to take your place and mine, like Boaz. Boaz was indeed the nearest family there to redeem Elimelech's property. And so he became the redeemer. And so family connection, had to be a family connection. And when you think of Christ, he came into this world and he put on flesh and he dwelt among us. And he came, that's for the Jew and the Gentile and for you and me. And I wonder tonight, are you willing to come to him? Because here we see in verse 42, after he admitted his need, after he admitted that even to the other thief, look, what you're saying is not right. Because Jesus is innocent, and yet he suffered for you and he suffered for me. And he said in verse 42 unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I wonder, have you ever asked the Lord to remember you? That you need him. You need him. And if you want to go to heaven, then you need to come to him. You need to talk to him. And you need to tell him and be honest about yourself. Now, if you say, you know what, I'm not a bad person. I don't do what other people do. And things like that there. I go to church as often as I can. And I try to help other people. See, if you say that, that's very commendable. But, you see, as far as salvation is concerned, you'll never enter heaven. You must come by the way of the cross. And you must humble yourself and admit that you are a sinner. And how, if you break one, there's no doubt about it, one law, you break them all. And we all have broken it. So we're broken people. And at the end of the day, if we want to go to heaven, we have to come the way of the cross. And we see he cried out, Lord, remember me. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called? Ever called? Have you ever felt you had an urgency? A need? Generally, we don't ring the doctor unless we're really bad. And we probably put it off. Oh, maybe it'll be better tomorrow, whatever. And you think you're all right. But, you know, if you have enough pain, enough discomfort, you'll ring the doctor. And you know, tonight, you need to realise you need to be in contact and call upon the name of the Lord. And you see, if you come to the Saviour, he'll not cast you out. He'll accept you. And he'll have mercy upon you. And he'll forgive you. And you will have that assurance because the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell within you. And you'll be born again. And you'll have indeed, that peace with God that passes all understanding. It'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So here are two with Christ on the cross. Which one are you like tonight? Are you like the one that has changed your mind? And you are convicted. You know you are guilty before God. And you have called on the name of the Lord. And you know what the Lord said to this man who said, remember me. He said in verse 43, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in a paradise. Today. Isn't that lovely? Today. We're not talking about tomorrow now. And you can know today. You can know now. Because you see, if you call upon the name of the Lord and you know you're guilty, and you know that Christ paid for every sin of yours on the cross and shed his precious blood, then if you call to him, then he will respond and forgive you. And you will know today, God's Spirit witnessing with your spirit, that you're a child of God. Isn't it lovely to know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven? So as we think tonight, two with Naomi, Orpah or Ruth, which one would you say you're like? Have you come to the very door, as it were, of salvation? And could it be that you keep walking away, putting it off step by step? Or have you come to that point, like Ruth, I am prepared to turn my back on my old life and the old gods that I worship and the old maybe entertainments or whatever occupy you in the things of the world, and you say, I am going now to follow the Lord. No, surely goodness and mercy for the Christian shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's lovely. This lady had faith, and God rewarded her. And so tonight, have you got faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. Have you ever asked him to forgive you? Like the thief here, here's two men. Maybe you're saying, oh, well, they deserved it anyway. But the truth is, we all deserve it. There's none of us good enough, not even one. And so here on the cross, there's one has changed their mind, rebukes the other, and realizes they're for the people that are bad, and they need him, but I'm clean enough. And see, if you think like that, you're basically like Orpah. You're walking away. You're like that other thief. I know you wouldn't insult, say things nasty about the Saviour, but think about that thief. He rejected Christ going into eternity. And there, just right beside him, was the gift of eternal life. And he refused it. People say, if I lived in the time of Jesus, I'd become a Christian. Well, I don't believe it. Because there were people right beside him, like that thief. And basically, he walked away. He rejected Christ. The other one received him. And tonight, as many as receive Christ, to them give he the power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I trust tonight that you'll be wise and you'll believe that Jesus died for you on the cross. And you'll believe that you're a sinner and there's not a hope of you getting into heaven unless you're saved, unless you're forgiven. And you need to repent. You need to tell God you're sorry. And you can do it in your own home. And you can just tell the Lord, look, I'm a sinner. And I was born a sinner. And I can't save myself. But I know Jesus died to save me. And I'm going to ask him to forgive me and be my own personal Saviour. And if you mean that, then you will find you'll be forgiven. And I trust tonight that that's your situation. You're like Ruth, and you're like the thief that asked the Saviour to remember him. And so I trust tonight that you're ready for heaven and home. Let's bow in prayer. Loving Father, we are bowed indeed in Jesus' precious name. We're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful that it is good news while we live down here. And we do pray, Lord, that each one that's listening tonight, that they'll be ready. That they will be ready for heaven and home. And so we're glad that the gospel goes out throughout the land, throughout the world. And we know that we can be sure tonight, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So help us, Lord, each one of us, just to know indeed where we stand in the light of eternity, and especially as we think of Orpah and Ruth. Help each one to see just where they stand, even with the two thieves, Which one are they like? And may each one here ask the Lord to remember them in their sin and forgive them. So bless us, Lord, now, we pray. Take us to our earthly home in safety, and may each one of us be ready for that lovely heavenly home that Jesus came indeed to offer to each one of us. And what a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So bless us now, we pray, giving thanks for our time together in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.